You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I have a very special guest who is an old friend of mine, and her name is Cheryl Scott. Cheryl is an RN and has a PhD and is an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant. She has a wide range of interests, from working as a lactation consultant in a large HMO system, spending her time as a busy national speaker on healthcare issues related to women and infants' health. She lives in the tranquil town of Volcano, California. She is also currently developing a nonprofit sustainable living education and healing center on her property in Volcano. The Education and Healing Center is following the model of Michael Tellinger's Ubuntu community, which is based upon the concept of contributionism, which is an effective model of alternative living, which takes us out of the matrix of fiat-based financial slavery. Cheryl's master's and doctorate are in holistic health. She has had 3 years of training in traditional Chinese medicine, 3 years of training in the ancient practice of naturopathic medicine, and she and her sweetheart, Bill O'Hara, another good friend of mine, have been very actively involved in living and promoting health through distilled waters therapies. She has been reversing her severe osteoarthritis, frozen shoulder syndrome, and other health issues through distilled water therapies. And Bill has been able to heal from stage 4 throat cancer using these therapies as well. Cheryl's thirst for knowledge and truth and joyful living has recently taken her to Taipei, Taiwan, to COBRA's Breakthrough Conference. She had the opportunity of meeting the lightworker, whose code name is COBRA in Taipei. Cheryl published the conference notes, which has been widely embraced by thousands of people around the world whose eyes are directed to what is being called the event. You can find Cheryl on Facebook, and all of that information is on the bio page here at BBS Radio, and we'll repeat it at the end of the show. So before I ramble on anymore, let's bring my good friend Cheryl Scott out and say hello. Hi, Cheryl. How are you?
Hello, Lance. I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, you know what? I should have had you on the show years ago. Really.
I don't think so.
Well, you are one of the most special people that I know, and you and I met at a meet and greet that Anelia Benz was holding, and that's where I met Anelia, who's another good friend of both of ours.
That's right, yeah.
And I don't remember how many years ago that was, but it was a while ago.
Right, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, perhaps.
Yeah, I think so. And over that time, I mean, we've had some wonderful experiences. You came to the Mount Shasta video. Well, you came to Mount Shasta during the time I was making the Galactic History videos.
Right.
And we went to a UFO Congress together, and
right.
I had the opportunity to meet Jordan Maxwell, which I thought was a big treat, and lots of wonderful people there, and we've spent a lot of time together. I've been down to your house, and it really is a perfect site for doing what you want to do. I was always wondering what you were going to do with the property, because you've got beautiful greenhouses and about 5 different tent. Well, what would you call those? They're greenhouses, but they're made
right,
out of plastic.
Right, they're greenhouses.
Yeah. And you guys just have the green thumb and the gold thumb. And, you know, I just admire what you're doing so much because you're always thinking about other people and turning your property into an education and healing center is really a beautiful thing to contribute. And I love your taking on Tellinger's Ubuntu philosophy, which is contributionism. And I think that we will be moving fairly soon out of a monetary enslavement, as you so wisely put it, and we will be looking at several things rolling out that I think that the ruling elite will probably try to preserve as much of their power as possible in the first blush, and we'll get a few little benefits, but there will be several transitions during the next few years, I think.
Correct.
Now, you have... We've talked a lot about what's going on in the world and 2012, and we've shared a lot of different information, and you're really one of the wisest people I know, and and Bill also, your partner Bill, and I was fascinated by that incredible journal that has just kind of gone viral. When you went to Taipei to meet Cobra, and would you like to start with that, and then we can work our way around to some of these other topics?
Sure, that'd be a good starting point. Thank you, Lance. Yes, it is quite a journey. you and I love to go down many different, what Bill and I call rabbit holes.
Yes.
various holes of truth that takes us to amazement and wonderment, sometimes fear, but we always get out of that fear. It's just our truth-seeking journey. And I have actually felt called for many years, probably 20 years, to kind of somewhat create like a Noah's Ark. What I've always felt like that, and I have just a perfect place up here in Volcano, California.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And it's just the energy of Volcano is quite unique. We are an old gold mining town from the early 1850s, as you know. But in our little valley, there's 60 vertical gold caverns and crystal caverns. So the energy is quite amazing.
Don't you have the Indian,
Indian grinding rocks, even on my property.
Wow. Right?
A lot of vortexes, actually, interdimensional vortexes on our property.
And
lots of different spirits here in Volcano and on my property, too, but they're all very good and positive spirits. You know?
Yeah.
But so it's been a wonderful journey, and one of the people that I do keep up with, and I do listen to many different people, like many of the listeners of your show do, and our journey towards truth. And so one of the primary people I have been resonating with is Cobra, a light worker who calls himself Cobra, and In early January, I saw that he had posted this, the next conference. It was called the Breakthrough Conference in Taipei, and I had this immediate sense that this was meant for me to go to, and my sweetheart Bill, and everything just worked out great. I happened to have 5 days off that required me to be able to take that time off. And I only needed one more day off, and my manager gave me the green light for that, and so it was like I really felt like this was meant to be. And I could just feel in my heart that this was really a very important time to be there. And one of my primary reasons, though, of going was actually to get a face-to-face, a heart-to-heart with Cobra. His message resonates well, and I know a lot of people criticize him or talks about, you know, why does he have to modulate his voice? That's never really bothered me at all. I cannot imagine what it would be like to be a light worker and someone who's in the forefront, who is under attack. And Cobra, like many light workers, is under attack with the plasma scalar energy, you know, weaponry. And so I don't blame him for needing to or desiring to protect himself and his wife and family by that means or any means. But I felt like, if I'm tuning in and reading these, his messages, and the message itself resonates well with me, I just want to get a heart-to-heart and see what does my intuition tell me. And there's so many things that are going on, you know, like...
Oh, my
God. I know. Yeah. I've been, you know, so it was 2 years ago, Lance, when you and I brought Andrew Norton Weber out from North Carolina, and we did a conference, and you were our MC here in Sacramento for the Distilled Waters Conference, and that was such a wonderful opportunity. And it was at that point when Andrew Norton Weber and his wife really encouraged me to purchase some dong and denari, and I had never ever heard of that before. And so I purchased some at their request, and I just didn't really do much with that or even paid much attention, because personally I kind of abhor the financial system, and it's been structured to be so complicated that not only the average man but even very smart and highly intelligent people have a hard time figuring this fiat-based monetary system out.
Yes.
So, it was so interesting, Lance, is that at the end of last year, more like late October, early November, I'm starting to see all these global events really coming about, things that Cobra has been saying are going to happen, and many other sages and people around the globe. And so I started paying more attention to the financial system. So I have been really keeping up to date two or three times a day studying the global financial system as well. So that was another reason why I wanted to go to Cobra's Breakthrough Conference, because he was on his agenda. He was speaking a lot about the global financial system, what that's all about, and how this global currency reset is going to be played out. And there are literally millions of people all over the globe who are keeping their eyes on that and hoping that that's going to manifest prosperity so that we can do good works for our fellow men and women on this planet.
Right, right.
Right, and for their good friends, too.
Right, and so. Clean up the planet. I mean, there's a laundry list so long that... it would take us several hours just to speak it.
Exactly. So I was not disappointed at the Breakthrough Conference. It was quite amazing, and all of my expectations were met. It was really wonderful to meet these Taiwanese light workers.
Oh.
And there were, you know, it's so interesting. So we remember, Lance, at the conference that I met you, was accompanied you with Andrew Bartis, and Rob Potter was there, and Rob Potter in Mount Shasta was presenting a lot about Cobra, and I think that might have possibly been about my first introduction to Cobra, the person and the work of Cobra. I can't quite remember if I had been reading up on him much before that, but I really wanted to get this knowledge, heartfelt knowledge about him. And also, just more recently, you might have been keeping up with the Red Dragon Ambassador. Have you been keeping up with him?
To some extent, yes.
Yes. So that's, again, a new player, in my opinion, on this global economic forefront here, and and many of us are wondering, okay, now how does this play into the factor, and can we trust these people, and who are they? And so that was quite interesting to be in Taipei, because Taipei is the center, well, one of the primary centers where the Red Dragon and the White Dragon families are still located. They were forced out of China at a certain point in history, and they took much of their wealth there to Taipei and are working in, you know, kind of an underground kind of their presence is not that well known by people, but they are very active there. So a lot of our conference was about this as well. So it was really an amazing time.
since you brought it up, I know many people follow a number of different financial reports, and that includes David Wilcock and Ben Fulford and you know, half a dozen others that are, you know, bringing us relatively accurate information, pieces of it anyway. And I'm curious to know what COBRA's take is on the global financial reset, and if it's, can you elaborate on that a little bit?
Right. So he was, the first part of the, actually the conference was more about what this breakthrough is, which is this increasing of the energy, the light energy here, and that it's, you know, it's an extremely historic time. He was also explaining, like, the end of duality and what's going to be happening at the event, you know, and so many people in many different aspects are talking about this event. The second day of the conference, he was elaborating more on the financial system. And so he was saying that there's, like, basically a simplified story of the dragon families, and that in Asia, you know, the dragon families had stolen the money from the people, and this is how they accumulated their mass wealth. And the gold has been hidden in various places all over mainland China and the Philippines, and you know, those people who follow Neil Keenan know that it's also like in Thailand and places like this too. So, but eventually the cabal came in and began to buy the gold from these Asian families, but for pieces of paper.
Right.
And on the paper was written a promise, and the Western cabal promised like 50 or more years to pay back the gold. And the dragon families, though, were greedy, so that they gave these gold bond papers, thinking they were going to be getting money. And of course, this is again where with the fiat based financial system, they got sucked into that as well. And this happened before World War II. So the cabal created this World War II to steal the rest of the gold. And the U.S. court stole the gold from the people around 1934, and they took that money from the people. So they gave money to people for their gold, and then the controllers would not allow us to print or copy, you know, the paper money. Only those that control the banks are able to do that. That's this whole perpetuation of enslavement, really, you know. It's and so that's why now we call it those few elite, the banksters, so to speak, you know. So there's going to be three phases. What he was saying is that there's basically three phases of this event. But let me get back to, like, the significance there in Taipei. Because after World War II, the cabal wanted to transport the gold to the United States. And they were able to transport some gold. However, after World War II, you know, the political climate was not very good. And so some of the Dragon family members, then that's when they fled to Taipei and hid their gold under the city And it's about 2 kilometers from the exact location that we had the breakthrough conference.
Mm.
So it's quite interesting. And I believe COBRA is returning there at the end of this month for a meeting with the Dragon families, 2 of the Dragon families, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe is how I had seen that message.
Mm.
So that's quite interesting. And it said that the Taiwan Central Bank just opened one of those vaults, and that gold was here a few years ago, but it might not be there anymore, he said. But he said that with a smile, so it was very kind of mysterious as to what he meant by that. So the United States grabbed the gold and put that gold up as collateral to get more paper money because the cabal wanted more funding for the secret space program.
Right.
So with this money, they built underground bases, they built spaceships, went to Earth's moon and to Mars,
mm-hmm.
and they spent over $1,000 trillion each year. That's about $3 billion every day.
Wow.
And so people, we're just working at our jobs, you know, and half of our money basically goes to the secret space program.
Right.
And all this money taken from we the people through our taxes have enabled about 100 people in the cabal to go to Mars to have their fun. That's what COBRA was sharing with us.
Mm-hmm.
So what he was sharing about the financial reset, he said that basically the first phase all has to do with the energetic phase, and this is the ritual reset of all of our debt. He said we've been programmed to believe that we owe money to the bank, and it's kind of like the same principle as the law of karma. And he said we can exit this old belief system of karma by just giving up the belief that it does not serve us. And but the bank wants us to believe that we owe them money. And however, like COBRA was really emphasizing that, you know, they just have someone, like a teller will be punching in these few digits on a computer, and in a few seconds of a digital key punching, then we have to work 10 to 20 years to pay these electronic keystrokes.
Right.
But the sad thing is that we're the ones who are conditioned to believe this, and with our free will, we agree to this very bizarre system.
That's right.
Isn't it? Yeah.
So,
so he said, what would happen if everyone said, no, we don't owe you, and it's time now for we the people to stand up and say, this is my money, not yours.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's absolutely the God-honest truth, and when Lincoln tried to print money through the government, you know, I think it was called Confederate money. I don't remember the exact story, but when he wanted to take the control of the money printing back from the illegal Federal Reserve, which is really a banking cartel, and he was shot. And Kennedy, I think, was doing something similar.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was doing some similar things, and the cabal had him taken out, and a lot of other people taken out that are not so prominent. But that is what happens when somebody tries to come out with, say, a free energy device or anything that's innovative that is going to improve our life, they are either eliminated, bought off, or blackmailed, or some combination. But it seems to me that it's imperative that the people who are presently running all of these different agendas, including a genocide of the whole planet, need to be removed.
Right.
And so I'm wondering if he addressed, because other than
if they're still around,
there's no point in changing anything because they'll just be, you know, manipulating and conniving behind the scenes.
And he was saying that the GC, we don't want that global currency reset, the GCR, to occur until after the resistance movement has taken the high level of the banksters, you know, and the evil cabal, and take them out of that power structure.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, he was sharing, and I felt, because You know, just like Ben Fulford, you and I have been listening to Ben Fulford, keeping an ear and an open, you know, I keep one eye on him. And then
right.
Knowing that he is also given a lot of disinformation. No one is perfect and they're giving out of information. But for many of us, Ben Fulford is the first and only person who started coming out with all this information, especially in the White Dragon family. And what was so interesting was that the English-speaking Taiwanese people that I was able to meet in Taipei, I asked many of them, when did you, have you known about the dragon families? And when did you find out, and how did you find out about the dragon families? And every single Taiwanese person I talked to, their source of finding out about the dragon family was Ben Fulford.
Oh, how interesting.
I know.
Wow.
That kind of really surprised me.
Yeah, that is a surprise.
Right. I thought just because I thought I was just being here in the United States, so like ethnocentric, you know, that this was just new for me here. But even though the White Dragon and Red Dragon and other dragon families have been in Taipei and Taiwan for so many, many years, they are a quiet presence, a very quiet presence, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cobra was sharing that the dragon family has been given the responsibility to checkmate the cabal. Mm. And this is the reason for the BRICS, the core countries of this Eastern Alliance. And that is the movement of the dragon families to put pressure on the Rothschilds to stop this form of slavery. And I've been kind of wondering in the last month or two, as I'm seeing the BRICS, you know, just swelling, they've gone from basically five primary countries to, is it 180 countries now?
And something like that, yes.
Right. When the weekend we were there in Taiwan for that conference was when Greece was having their elections, and Cobra said that if Greece voted the anti-capitalist president in, that is going to be creating a very dramatic domino effect, because they're again another country that's now going to be able to claim their independence from the petrodollar, you know. And,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So, and I believe, you know, China and Russia, well, I know that China and Russia have been buying up gold in large quantities, and Germany's trying to get their gold back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Chinese are even encouraging their people to buy gold coins and, you know, spend some of their hard-earned money on gold, because I think that will be one of the first transitions will be that move to the gold-backed currency. As you said, the BRICS nations are attempting to do that,
mm-hmm.
But I think that there is also that's part of a larger agenda that the cabal is very aware of, and they're capable of taking over just about anything. And
right.
I had even read that, not the Koch brothers, but the other billionaire that likes to get his hands in politics. I can't think of his name right now. But anyway, that he was actually participating in the BRICS movement. And who knows? But in any case, it does seem that we need some kind of transition from the United States petrodollar and with the Federal Reserve, which is not it's not a transparent agency. And one of my guests, G. Edward Griffin, spoke at the end of the year about the books. He's written a number of books, the Creature of Jekyll Island, and now the information is widely available that the Fed just literally prints up money and does what they want with it. I mean, trillions of dollars.
Right.
And so, you know, that's a form of theft because we're charged interest for it, and so is the government.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we have another, there's another kind of subtle move that I've noticed, and that started quite a few years ago. And you'll remember this one. Remember in the old New Age days when we were reading channeled messages and mm-hmm. 2012 was going to be this and that and the other thing? And so many people got completely hoodwinked by Nisara.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that Nisara is not real, because there actually is the person who is in charge of those funds does actually exist, and he cannot get them because, you know, the presidents and the people in high places have blocked that money, and their theories that they're just shifting it back and forth and earning interest on it, but they've tied it up, whatever that money is, which had to do with defeating Russia. And the person that's actually on the account, do you remember his name? The person in charge of Nisara.
I know.
Liawanta.
Oh, okay.
Liawanta.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually exists, and he can't get the money, but he is trying to get it, and he claims that he's going to be using that money for humanitarian purposes if and when that comes through. So there's just, and then there are other people working on separate financial systems that have nothing to do with BRICS and the rest of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and many of us, like yourself, are working on entirely new systems of contributionism and sharing and trading services and goods and things like that, to completely eliminate the money and anything that backs it, because that is where the authentic people are headed, and that's where we will eventually end up. And I don't know when, but it will be a transformation in stages, and so I kind of see this BRICS thing as, you know, one of those stages that's going to get rolled out.
Right. It is, and it's coming very, very soon. It's been apparently been in the making for many years.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
So he was saying that the first phase is that the people are going to have to say no to the system. But yet, if we refuse to pay the money to the bank obviously tries to come after us and crushes us. So it's not easy for an individual to go against the system. But mm-hmm. that's why now we have this entire alliance that's working for us. Mm-hmm. And so now it's going to be much easier to bring the Kabbalist debt slavery system down when we have the numbers of the resistance movement and the Eastern Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when this happens, all debt will be forgiven. And
well, it has to be, because yes. It's artificially created anyway.
Right. I mean, you've probably heard much of the talk about the jubilation or the jubilee.
Yeah.
And this has to do with that. So now the second phase is that the banks are going to be closed for 2 weeks when the event basically happens.
Okay.
And so he was saying that the resistance movement has basically, they have the ability to take control electronically. They have the ability, when the time comes, to be able to control all, like, say, all the satellite systems and be able to get in and control all of the banking systems. So during that 2 weeks that the banks are going to be closed, this is the time when the cabal is going to be removed from this planet.
Uh-huh.
And so the resistance movement, I don't know what you want to call them, light workers or light warriors, you know, or...
it is a resistance movement. I mean, there's a Silver Legion and...
Mm-hmm.
All other groups
There's a vast number of them, he said. And so they are going to be all during that time going, removing these people from the planet. So after the 2 weeks time, the healthy banks will reopen, but many, many of the banks are going to go bankrupt. My thought on this is more than likely the banks that have the huge derivative debt, banks that are just completely all oriented with the derivatives, they're going to just be falling down like dominoes.
Right.
So people will be given any of their money that might be left in the bank. However, it's anticipated that prior to this event, the cabal is going to most likely be trying to take out any of our available money in everyone's bank accounts. And if you remember, Obama signed a law, I think that was back in October of last year.
Mm-hmm.
I might be wrong on the month, but recently Obama signed that law allowing the government to take money, or the people in the banks to take any available money that's in our banks. And I believe that might even refer to CDs and all that as well, but at least the checking accounts and the savings accounts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And guess who holds the keys to the safety deposit boxes? The banks.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, if the banks close for 2 weeks and they actually have a plan to replenish their resources, because the Great Depression was one of those created events, manufactured false flags, that was used by, the elite and the cabals to... It's like a pump-and-dump operation. They take the economy down to the ground, and then they buy everything up for pennies on the dollar, and then they, raise it all up again. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were, for one thing, we know that every country has false flag events. And a false flag event is one that is created in the country that... has the false flag, such as 9/11, or in Japan it might have been the nuclear reactor, and that they blame another flag, another country, and they have shreds of evidence. I mean, just the merest, skimpiest evidence to prove it, but they pull it off because everybody is brainwashed and mind controlled to believe and to trust their president, and they don't tell us anything. They're all installed by the cabal, and there's a shadow government that runs all the countries. And they supply weapons to both countries, as does the U.S. And people are going to be shocked when they find out some of this stuff, that some of the people that ran for president the last time got their start by laundering mafia money. And that the royal families and the military here in the U.S. is literally guarding the poppy fields, and that the three-letter agencies are bringing in cocaine from other countries, and that it was the elder Bush that had so much CIA connections that was running drugs off of one of his oil in the ocean, the oil platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they sell that, and that is part of the money that goes into black ops and, mafia connections and the rest of it. So they're all in bed together.
Mm-hmm.
And we can kind of expect, since that's what's been going on since pretty much the beginning of my life anyway, in the beginning of the century and probably thousands of years, that they use these things to distract us and throw us off and keep us in fear. And it's really vital to not be in fear about those things, because if, as you say, if they are being removed, it's just a matter of time. And they're exposing themselves so rampantly that everybody is pretty much aware of a lot of what's going on, and the rest will just tumble like dominoes.
Mm-hmm.
So now, get back to, I didn't mean to take up all that time talking, but get back to the event. And is the event connected to the banking situation?
You know, at this conference, that's what came out loud and clear to me, was that this is all... I used to think that the event was going to be actually more of this, like, say, our planet going through the central galactic sun and having, you know, because the whole, this compression, you know, Cobra's name even is this compression resistance kind of activity, you know. But I was so surprised to hear that he was relating it completely with what's going on with the global economic system. And so it's very tied in closely. And so Cobra has always, from the very beginning, like on the Prepare for Change website, there's one very important manuals that you can download just for free onto your computers, and it will share with you what to do. But he's been very upfront encouraging people to make sure that they have enough food and water to last for at least 2 to 4 weeks. And just during this time that ATM machines are not going to be able to be used, you know, that the computer system's going to be all down for 2 weeks. People might be able to exchange dollar bills for a while at, say, local stores or grocery stores, you know, until things run out. But he was really focusing on getting tangible things, that this fiat-based petrodollar kind of system is going to be no longer. It will be here for a while, but it will be replaced then with this other monetary system. But the eventual result will, through time, and I don't know how much time it will take, is we won't be we'll be phasing out of the monetary system.
That makes complete sense.
So that kind of ties into what we're doing with, like, Michael Tellinger's work with the Ubuntu, you know, because he was sharing how, you know, all of our debt will be forgiven, you know, but not the speculative debt. He said, those people who hear this information and then they just go out and buy 10 homes, all of a sudden and rack up huge debt, this is not, that kind of speculative debt is not going to be forgiven.
Right.
You know?
Right. They'll have to be responsible for their choices.
Right, yeah.
A lot of people were flipping houses before the 2008 collapse, and they were getting rich fast.
Yes. So he was saying, though, that the other very important part of our financial system is to step out of this system, and that is by paying off as much of our debt as possible.
Right.
Because
right.
debt is the highest energy block to our energy system.
Yep.
And use credit card transactions as little as possible.
Yes.
Because the cabal knows everything we do with our credit cards.
Oh,
so
yes.
So we really suggest to leave as little of a paper trail as possible. And he also recommends that we take our money out of the bank.
I wanted to mention something about that.
Mm-hmm.
Because my dad, when I was a little kid, he'd get a few cocktails in him, and he had been in the Navy, and he would pull a dollar bill or a bill out of his wallet and pretend to wipe his extremities with it. And saying, money is worthless, he said. The Bilderbergs own the world. And so I was introduced to the Bilderbergs about 50 to 55 years ago, before Alex Jones ever got his, his air horn to talk about it. But I highly encourage people to remove as much of their funds as possible from any institution, because it's anything that's in paper or in electronics is going to be zeroed out.
Right.
And the other thing is, by putting your money into the large banks, like the mafia-owned banks. Well, they're all pretty much in bed with the mafia. They are all swept at night, and the money is taken out, and you never see it again. I mean, they don't have enough money in the banks to cash large checks, which is why they've put a limit on how much you can put in and take out. And it's going to get worse, but the smart people are going to start withdrawing their money and getting a home safe or a floor safe or whatever. I mean, and putting their money there and then converting it into real assets.
Mm-hmm. Right,
because
exactly.
Paper burns, and that's exactly what you're doing. I mean, you have...
Right.
You know, invested in solar lighting and a million and one things that have to do with survival and being comfortable, and books on how to make things. I mean, you
right.
really are set up here to do that.
So what we're doing currently here in Volcano is we're currently calling this the Volcano Connection, a sustainable living and education and healing center.
Oh, I like it.
So, and it's small. It's just our place here. But Volcano is a wonderful village.
Oh,
it's
already
a very loving community of only 100 people here in the village, but there's many more up in the mountains around us.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are, we have a semi-permanent resident permaculture expert who's been helping us with a variety of different types of permaculture. And so we are developing like a vermiculture with our worms that help with our
mm-hmm.
seven greenhouses. And so we really like to keep our food covered in the greenhouses because of all the chemtrails. We're in the process right now of developing an extensive rain harvesting.
Yes.
Because,
yes,
as you know, we give all of our water to Southern California, and
right,
artificially.
And plus, it's there's an artificial drought
exactly
in California that's being maintained by the in part by the military and in part by
mm-hmm.
The shadow government, and
mm-hmm.
that is this is something interesting. I had Michael. What's his name? Michael. Well, anyway, the person who did the two chemtrail movies, Murphy,
right.
On my show a few weeks ago, and he said that he had discovered that there were a couple of reasons why they're diverting the weather fronts off the coast of California. And one of those was to create a drought for the farmers so that there would be no organic food and we would be forced to get our food from other places, which would be genetically modified. And so that's one thing. And they're trying to destroy California anyway. That's part of the agenda of the, you know, end times fake revelations that they're doing. And the other reason, which I thought was really fascinating and I would have never thought of, is that they're moving all those fronts up to Antarctica. And their corporations and the military are just drooling over the assets that are underneath the ice. Oil, diamonds, shale. I mean, just there's so much there that they're probably going to have to fight over it. But so they're using that weather to melt the Arctic.
Mm-hmm.
And that in turn is being used as an excuse for a global carbon tax because there's, quote, global warming, which many people say there is no such thing as global warming. It's all artificially created.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not only creating a drought in California and destroying California, but they're melting the ice so they can get at the assets and make more trillions of dollars. So you know, these people are not nice people. You know,
right.
Humans are loving and caring, and we have a hard time imagining that our government and other governments and the mafia could be colluding with bankers to do such awful things, but they are. And those are just facts. And it goes on with the vaccinations and, you know, creating brain damage. And I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
Right.
So, anyway, what were you saying before I got sidetracked?
Well, really, I'm very much in alignment with what you're sharing, though, because, like, as far as Cobra's message, it is to make sure we take our money out of the bank. He is recommending we can keep a few $100 to keep the bank accounts open.
Oh, yeah,
and
right,
to be able
absolutely.
To do certain transactions, you know, but not to be keeping, you know, your life savings in there and think it's going to be there. But so he recommends that we buy something of value, invest our money into either land or houses or silver and gold.
Yes.
Depending on how much money you have. Silver is
absolutely.
Not as expensive, you know. And so the two purposes for this is so that at the time of the event when banks are closed, we need some type of currency to buy food if you don't have food and perhaps other goods. And because that's going to be at the time of the event when the banks are closed and people are just finding out that you know, who the cabal is.
Right.
That we've been putting our trust into our religious system and our education system, our government, and none of these people are who we can trust. So that people's trust are going to be at the lowest. And so this is why we need to make sure that we have something, you know, tangible.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
You know, the thing I like about silver is that there are a lot of pretty savvy financial advisors out there, and silver has been kept artificially low, as has gold, because some of the major companies like J.P. Morgan, Chase, and so on and so forth, they're selling certificates, silver certificates, at below cost, below rates, to buy silver. And so people are considering that they're getting a bargain, but it's just a piece of paper, and it will never be honored. And they're selling hundreds of times more silver than there is in the world. So they can never make good on it. They can never deliver the silver, and they don't keep the silver there. So to buy real silver is probably the smarter idea because it's,
right.
you can hang on to it, you can hold it, and
right.
it has intrinsic value in industry. And it also has a monetary value, so where the dollar doesn't, you know, paper doesn't have that. So,
go ahead. We had a very unique opportunity, though, at that conference because there were about 70 of us light workers from all over the world there on that day. And Cobra had asked each of us to bring either a gold or a silver coin for a very special meditation. And so we all, that evening, we went and bought gold or silver. And when we came back the next day, we did this very, very beautiful and global changing meditation. It was, we all brought our, one by one, our gold or silver. It couldn't be gold like jewelry. It had to be money.
Okay.
And during this meditation, one by one, each light worker brought the silver and gold and placed it upon this altar. And the altar was in the exact center of Taipei, where the dragon families are. You know, it's really like an amazing thing. And as we placed the silver and gold money on the table, we prayerfully asked Saint Germain for his blessings of wisdom and his blessing to bless us with great prosperity and to assist ourselves, our families, and then our world. And Cobra later said that powerful meditation changed the paradigm of the debt-based slavery financial system on the plasma and the etheric levels. So what happens on the plasma and etheric levels will eventually take place here on the physical level.
Right, right. That's exactly
so, right. That was really awesome to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Now, we are almost out of time. I could talk to you for another hour easily. I mean, you're just a fountain of knowledge and wisdom now, and always have been. But before we go, Would you just kind of give us a brief overview of what the event is supposed to be? How did he define it?
It's okay. He's saying that, like, this compression breakthrough that we're going through right now, it's not the event itself. The event itself means that basically that energy is accumulating and it's increasing for the event to occur. And this event isn't just like a 1 second, whoop, there's the event, you know?
Right,
it's going to be an ongoing type of a thing. He says it's like we're in the middle of a hurricane, and mm-hmm. what we are to do is to keep centered, to keep focused, not to get provoked, and especially those of us who, like you and I and the listeners of our audience, your audience, we're going to be the light workers. So when the cabal is taken out, when the financial system is reset, and there's going to be chaos, and so it's very important that we stay centered,
yes.
that we can be the light
yes.
and guide and be a source of stability no matter
yes.
where we are. And Lance, I know you get this as much as I do, but every conference I go to, I'm always meeting people who say, oh, I'm the only person in my city, and I have no one else I can talk to this about. There, you know, we're always happy to meet like-hearted people. But I believe we wish we had more, and we are gathering more, I think, as the layers are lightening up. However, even if you're the only person in your community, we have to be that light.
Absolutely. Well, Cheryl, we're at the end of the hour, and I just want to thank you profusely for being on the show. And all of your contact information is on the bio for tonight, and it'll be up for a week, so people
Great.
Can find out how to get a hold of you there. And I just thank you so much for coming and sharing your inspiration with everybody, and for being my good friend.
Thank you, Lance. Thank you. Blessings to you.
All right. And good night, everybody. And stay tuned for the next show. Bye-bye.